All right, so last week, Carrie kicked us off with this brand new sermon series called Weird, because normal isn't working. And we're talking about how Jesus calls us to live differently from the rest of the world, right? Differently from the norm of society, different in a God way. And as we looked at the definition of weird together, weird obviously meaning not normal, we had to leave behind some of what we thought weird meant, right? The meat scarves and the puppy hats and some of the other things that we think of when we think of weird. That's not what we're talking about. We want to be weird in a God way, right? We want to be weird by the way we stand out and honor God with our time, our money, our relationships, our values. We want to embrace that kind of weird. We want to be one of those people, weird in a God way. And this morning, we're going to dig a little deeper into the other side of that coin. We're going to dig deeper into this idea of normal. Not sure my family would say I'm qualified to talk about this topic this morning, but we're going to take a stab at it anyway. Because I think it's a really important topic to consider, to talk about normal. Because if we don't stop to consider what we and the world around us are doing and how we're living, what normal has become, it's really easy to go through life on autopilot, just following blindly without thought to consequences and without thought to impact. And that really is the opposite of how Jesus calls us to live our lives. We are supposed to live as believers on purpose and with thought to the impact that we're having in this world. We are to be light and salt. So what is normal? So glad you asked. There are a lot of ways we could get a handle on what normal is in our society. One of the ways is by looking at those 24/7, 365 news channels we have, right? Headline news, CNN, Fox News, lots of different news media outlets. You will get the news with whatever bias you want nowadays, right? Whether it's conservative or liberal or somewhere in between. And the stories that they cover, no matter which station we're talking about, give us an idea of what normal is like in our world. So this is one of the cover stories this week on Fox News. Apparently, a teenager was plotting to attack Pope Francis during his visit to the United States. Because it's normal in our world to attack people who hold views different than yours, or people that you disagree with. Another great place to get an idea of what normal is to look at these things. Anybody recognize those? Yeah, you do if you've been in a grocery store in the past 25 years, right? They line the checkout lines. And even if you're not a person that reads these type of magazines, I think if you've been in the grocery store, you've all read the titles, right? Because it's either that or engage with conversation around you. And I think sometimes we'd rather pretend like we're interested in those magazines. I took a couple of them this month from People. That's one of the more popular ones. And sadly, this is the cover. It's the story of Josh Duggar cheating on his wife. Because cheating on your wife is normal, even in Christian circles. Then there's this one. How to be happy with the way that you look, because it's normal not to be happy with the way that you look. It's normal to have dysfunctional relationships. It's normal for families to be separated or divorced. It's normal to be addicted to drugs and alcohol. And as I go through all of these normal things, you don't have to just take my word for it. You can take it from your own experience, right? Because if you're not directly affected by these, we all know people who are directly affected by these. These things are not big deals anymore. I mean, there was a time in our society when divorce would have scandalized the neighborhood, right? Now we hear someone had a divorce, we're like, okay. There was a time when addictions weren't even talked about. No, don't talk about that. That doesn't exist. Now, it's normal. Same thing is true for this stuff. It's normal that people struggle with finances. Did you know that the average credit card debt in America per family is $15,000. That's a staggering figure, isn't it? But really, we're not surprised, right? We've heard those before. It's like, it's normal now. It's normal for people not to be happy with their leadership of their country or their state or their city. It's normal not to be happy with politics. That's all over magazines, right? As a matter of fact, anybody here completely happy with the political system in America? Go ahead and raise your hands. Yes? No? Okay. It doesn't matter who's in control, right? If it's Republican or Democrat or independent. We spend millions of dollars electing new people every few years, and we're never happy with them, no matter what side they're on. It's normal to gossip about people we don't like.
sometimes about people we do like.
It's normal not to be happy with our jobs. It's normal not to be happy with our schools. It's normal not to be happy with our healthcare or the healthcare system. Don't get me started on that one. In fact, I think it's safe to assume that it's normal to see a lot of problems in life. It's normal to see brokenness around us, to see all the things in need of repair. Political systems, healthcare, relationships, families. But today, as we stop and consider what normal is, I don't want us to see this as a problem for society. I want us to see it as a problem for ourselves. What's normal like in my life, in my relationships, with my children, in my finances, with my marriage, with my behaviors? We're not just looking at normal in a theoretical way today. I want us to look at normal in a very personal way. The word normal is defined as usual, average, or a typical state or condition. In other words, in our world, in our culture, it's typical to see dysfunction. Am I right? Everywhere you look, there's a lot of dysfunction going on. As a matter of fact, I think it's safe to say we can shorten that definition and say that normal equals broken. That's another way we can define it. And wherever we are, whatever level of income we have, whatever family structure we grew up with, we can all see that broken is normal. Broken systems, broken people, broken relationships, normal is broken. All right, so that's, like I said, normal. Wanted to make that clear. And we want to obviously talk about the other side of that coin, which is weird, because in Jesus, we have weird. Remember last week, Carrie talked about that definition, and it is strange, bizarre, supernatural, otherworldly. Because when we're talking about weird, it's something that's not of this world. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's supernatural. A little mystery behind it, right? We're going to talk about both of these things today, weird and normal. And I want to make sure we do that from the context of Scripture, so let's start with Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a path that seems right, a path before each person that seems right. And actually, let's just stop right there. Because I'm going to throw out the idea before you that that is normal, right? That's what we're talking about there. That path before all of us that seems right to the world is normal. But it ends in death. See, the normal we talked about before that seems right to the world, that hold us to stuff, the normal of bad financial decisions, the normal of corporations and media perpetuating self-doubt and chemical dependencies, it all ends in death. The relational decisions that seem right, that are part of normal, like dating that inevitably has to lead to premarital sex, or the failing of families, or bailing out of a marriage, it all ends in death. Normal ends in death. I just heard a pastor this past week gave a great quote that I think really applies to this one. He said, you know, the only kind of fish that goes with the flow, you guys know the only kind of fish that goes with the flow? A dead fish. Yes. Because fish, they swim upstream. They fight against the current just to stay still. They look for food sources. They stay in a habitat. They don't just go with the flow in the river unless they're dead. The world has a way that seems right. It is the norm. And those that simply go with the flow of this world are dead fish. Scripture makes it clear, normal leads to death. And Scripture all... Are they clapping next door? See, they heard that was a good clap. Thank you. Scripture also tells us that we are all infected with this disease of normality. It's something we're born into. No matter what our parents may have told us about how wonderful we are, or how special or different we think we are all born into this world of normal that leads to death. Right? I wish Nathan was right here right now. Scripture says, Romans 3:10-12, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not even a single one. See, even the people in our society who look like they're really trying to do good usually have hidden agendas. I mean, think politicians, think civil servants, think philanthropists. They all live in the normal, natural world, and they all have normal, natural lives. Let's keep reading that. It says, their mouths, or their talk is foul, like stench from the open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. I mean, think about the conversations we overhear at school or work. Don't these words fit perfectly? The interactions we see on Facebook or Twitter or the news channels, jokes being constantly made at other people's expenses. It seems like someone's always trying to outdo someone else or ruin their reputation or credibility in order to build their own. I mean, just this past week, there was some crazy scandal with the Miss America pageant. Did you see that? Where there was a contestant who did a monologue for the nurse for the talent portion about nurses, right? And then this talk show host berated her and saying that's not really a talent and said some other things. And thankfully, there was outrage over that. But guess what? Happens all the time. It's normal. It says, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. How rare is it these days to hear someone cursing or being bitter in life? It's not really rare, is it? It's pretty normal. In fact, I'd say some of us have a picture in our head when we think about bitter people or the word comes up. And think about when we come home at the end of the day, right, in our family conversations. Don't we usually go straight for the stuff that annoyed us? I mean, even if you had an amazing day, like the most perfect day, and someone cuts you off on the way home, which part of your day do you start with when you get home, right? The jerk that cut you off on the ride home, right? Not your amazing, perfect day. Can you imagine what would happen if our news channels actually reported blessings or good things that would happen in our country? Today in our country, you know, this happened. They'd probably have trouble finding sponsorship for that, wouldn't they? They might lose some money. Scripture also says they rush to commit murder. Dogpiling on people when they are down is normal. Heaven forbid somebody make a mistake, and what happens? It's, ooh, did you hear what Randy did at lunch today? Or have you ever seen someone make a mistake on Facebook? They get ripped to shred in the comment section, don't they? And now that they've got YouTube and the capacity for videos on our phones, ooh, it gets played over and over and over again. Do you remember when John Travolta mispronounced Idina Menzel's name on the Oscars? That poor man had to relive that moment over and over and over again. All that stuff is normal, right? That behavior. But where does normal lead? Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. And again, this is something, this normality, that we all struggle with. Ephesians tells us we're born into it. And of course, we will most likely stay in it unless or until something weird happens in our lives, like Jesus, and we become aware of our normal, natural selves. Ephesians says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins, a dead fish, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of this unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. And here comes the scary part. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. See, the Lord is very clear. Scripture is clear. We were born into normal. We were born to follow the passions of our flesh. We were born to look out for ourselves. You don't believe me? Put two cute little innocent sweet toddlers in a room to play together with one toy and watch what happens, right? It becomes mine. Because looking out for ourselves is a natural born instinct. We were born to go with the flow of this world. And so normal is not only broken, normal is also scary. It's scary because to live in the flow, to live in normal, is to live in opposition to God and open ourselves up to his anger. It says, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. And that is a scary thought. I mean, I can think of a lot of people that I would not want to be on their bad sides. Bruce Lee, I do not want to tick that man off, right? Ronda Rousey, I am fairly certain she could take me. Brock Lesnar, not gonna do it. Maria Hempen, she looks cute and sweet in that picture, but I'm telling you don't want to be on her bad side. But of all those people who you wouldn't want to be on their bad sides, they all pale in comparison to God. I mean, he is the only one who can shoot down fire from heaven and consume entire armies. Spoiler alert for those of you that haven't finished reading Revelation. He is a loving God, don't get me wrong, but his anger is something to be scared of. Proverbs 10:9 says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Why would we be subject to his anger? Because the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 tells us, because living in sin carries consequences. That's why it says that way that seems right before us leads to death. When we're living the normal life, we look at this world around us and we think, hey, this is all about me. Right? It's all about us. We look at politics and we think, it's all about me. What laws, what changes is that person going to make in office that benefit me? We look at our finances and we think, it's all about me. What can I buy or spend that'll make me happy or make me more comfortable? We look at relationships that we're in and we think, it's all about me. Rarely do we stop and think about the other person above ourselves. We want what benefits us, because that's normal, right? Scripture tells us that's also sinful. But here is the amazingly weird thing about our God. Yes, we live in sin, right? The normality of this world. And yes, we are subject to his anger because of that. But he also gave us Jesus as a way to put an end to sin, so that we no longer have to live in normal, so that we can discover the weird and we can discover the way that does not end in death. Now, what is that kind of weird like? That weird in a God way? I want to jump back to that Ephesians passage to explain that. It says, God is so rich in mercy. We can stop right there. Isn't rich in mercy these days weird? Right, we think about rich in a lot of different ways, but not rich in mercy. And the God of the Bible is the only God in the universe who has mercy. Well, first of all, he's the only true God, period. But he is the only God figure in all of religion that extends mercy. That's what sets Jesus Christ apart from everyone else. I mean, Judaism, it's obeying the laws that earn salvation, right? In Hinduism, it's devotion to a false deity and good deeds that earn salvation. In Buddhism, there's no certain God or no concept of sin. And in Islam, it's the adherence to pillars and, again, good deeds that must earn salvation. But only Jesus gives grace and mercy. Because there's no way we can be good enough on our own, and he knows that. And that's why he is rich in mercy, because he loves us so much. It goes on. He loved us so much, even though we were dead because of our sins. Again, we're not going to see that in this normal world. When someone loves us, they love us because we're in a good relationship with them, right? Think of the people that you love. You've got a great relationship with them. Who do you love that's sinning against you right now? In this world, if someone wrongs you, it's normal to wrong them back, or to, at the very least, walk away from them. But not God. He's weird like that. He gives love when we don't deserve it. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Grace in this world, not that I've seen, right? Not in normal. Grace is when you receive something you don't deserve. And we know that doesn't happen. We rarely receive the things we're supposed to earn, let alone the things we never deserve to earn. My favorite explanation of grace, one that I heard Carrie give a few years back, I think it gives the clearest picture of it. It's one of my favorite examples. It's, let's pretend that I was speeding, right? It could happen, because I could reach that speed in my minivan. I could do it. And let's pretend a police officer pulled me over, right? Justice would be served if I received a speeding ticket. I broke the law. That's a consequence. It's just. I don't like it, but it's just. And if the officer wanted to extend mercy to me, he might give me a warning or let me go without the ticket. That would be extremely merciful of him or her. Sometimes some of us beg for mercy in those situations, or we try our best to cry our way out of that. Well, never seems to work for me, but some people try to cry for mercy. But grace would not only be not giving me the ticket, grace would be like if the officer pulled me over and not only didn't give me the ticket, but he called the mayor of the city and he held a parade in my honor in downtown Chicago. And then they presented me with a key to the city. That is crazy weird, because not only did I not deserve the parade or the key, I actually deserved the ticket. I deserved a consequence, but I didn't get it. I got something wonderful in return. That's grace. And that's what our God gives us when we place faith in his son, Jesus. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, bless you, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Grace is weird, but that's the good news about Jesus Christ. He loves us when we are unlovable. He gives us grace when we don't deserve it. That's why when you come to Northside Community Church, you see people full on worshiping God. That's why you feel the love and the joy when you walk into this building. I know some of you walked into this building on that first day and you said to yourself, it's kind of a weird place. That's okay. We love being weird in that way, right? We are proudly, weirdly praising God because we know that God saved us by his grace when we believed. And we know we can't take credit for that. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so we can't boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Who wouldn't want to praise a God who not only gives us mercy, but grace and eternal life? The rest of religions are all about obeying laws and pillars and performing good deeds in order to earn salvation, but our God, the only one true God, is all about mercy and love and humility and forgiveness and grace. Normal is scary. Weird is amazing. Again, that's why Christianity is like no other religion in the world. God said, I love you so much, I'm coming to be a humble servant to forgive you. I'm going to make a way for you to break out of normal, even if that means I have to give up my own son. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Think about that. All of us, there was a time in our lives when we were living in opposition to God. And while we were fighting against him, while we were living for ourselves, he took his own son, who was, you know, the essence of perfection, and he made him become sin. He piled all the consequences for our sin on Jesus. He took the wrath that we deserve. He took our punishment, and believe me, it's beyond anything we can imagine. And he placed it on Jesus, and he sentenced him to death in the most horrible way so that we would not have to. Why would he do such a thing? It doesn't make sense to us because that's not normal. But he did it so that through the blood of Jesus, our sins would be forgiven, so that he can look at us and say, it doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. It doesn't matter what your sins are. It doesn't matter what you've been through or what's been done to you. The price has been paid. He just sees perfection when he looks at you. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. He sees grace when he looks at you, when you accept his son Jesus. That's the good news. That's weird. And that's amazing. So there they are, normal and weird. The world and our God, scary and amazing. Now, what are we going to do about it? Right? Well, this is where we have to take a really honest look at where we are right now with our faith. And we have to ask ourselves the question, am I normal or am I weird? And I really want us to think about this for a minute. If we were to talk to five of your closest family or friends, would they say you are weird or normal? I'm not talking about in the meat scarf puppy head kind of way. I'm talking about the God kind of weird. What would they say? 1 Peter 2:11 says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Our identity as believers in Jesus Christ should be temporary residents and foreigners, right? We should look like weird tourists in this world, but do we? For those of us that are still on that path that seems right to the world, the path of normal, I want to tell you Jesus wants to meet you on that path and help you understand the weird thing he did on your behalf. He wants you to know that not only did he take on the sin and punishment of the world, he took on your sin and punishment. He doesn't just want you to understand weird in a theoretical sense. He wants you to understand weird in a personal way. He wants you to accept his sacrifice on your behalf so that when you stand before God, you don't have to worry about his anger or the scary consequences of normal, but you can stand secure in the righteousness of Jesus and receive the grace of God. If you haven't done that, I'm going to give you a chance to do that in just a minute. But before we do, I want to talk to the weirdos in this room for a minute. If you know you're a believer, if you associate yourself as being weird, perhaps you're starting to realize, even in these 2 short weeks of the series, that there are some very normal areas of your life that you'd like to change. Perhaps you want to be a weirder parent, or a weird student, or a weird spouse, or a weird son or daughter, or a weird employee, a weird friend, a weird aunt or uncle, a weird whatever. I mean, let's face it, I think every single one of us in this room could stand to be a little bit weirder. Sometimes we blend in so much, the people in our everyday lives see us as normal. And that should give us pause for thought. I mean, when we stop and think about the day that Jesus met us on that path and we made our own choice to follow him, there were probably more than a few weirdos that led us to that point. Right? There are a few people that stood out to us in this world that kind of led us in that direction, that gave us a taste of what it could be like, and we're like, you know what, I think I could be that kind of weird. That's who we're supposed to be in this world. You know, we're going to play a little video for our song of response today instead of singing. And I want to do that because I want to use these next few minutes as a chance to really think about the question that I posed. Am I weird or am I normal? And what am I going to do about it? If you came here this morning normal, I'm not going to lie, I want you to leave out of here weird. For those of you who are ready to take that step, during this next song, I simply want you to tell God in your own words that you bought into this idea of normality and you've sinned. Thank him for sending his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for your sins and providing a way for you to receive this gift of salvation that you know he did for you. And tell him you're ready to be weird. And for the rest of us weirdos, I want us to consider what we just talked about. The areas of our lives that have perhaps slipped a little too much into that normal path. Ask God to point them out to you. And ask him what he wants you to do about it.